Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, it's Monday, November 23rd, and we have a wonderful opportunity to continue our study in 1 Timothy chapter 3, qualifications for pastors, and we are well into number 14, one that ruleth well his own house. And that gives us some very important information and also some very challenging information for us to ponder. And we're going to do that today, Lord willing. Let me thank those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to maintain this broadcast on this station. Well, a general requirement for a pastor is one who rules his own house well, one who governs, one who presides over, one who leads, who superintends his own house well. One specific area of application, certainly not the only one, but one specific area of application for that is the continuation of verse 4, having his children in submission with all reverence. That would be a manifestation of ruling his own house well. House, as we saw on the broadcast Friday, means household. It means basically anybody who lives in his house, anybody who is involved in his household operation. And in that day, that could have been a lot of people. Not only wife and children, but extended family, as people tended to live together with several generations in the same house or in the same compound, as well as domestic servants. And if it was a farming household, as so many of them were in that day, it could also include outside servants, laboring servants. It really could include a lot of people, just depending upon what particular family we're talking about. But household would include anybody who is involved in your family's relationships, at least the ones that live there where you are, and who are involved in your family affairs on a regular day-to-day basis, such as domestic servants and others. So there are a lot of people that a father, a husband, has to be able to govern, to preside over, to superintend, to oversee successfully. But one of the most important areas is that of his children. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. His children in submission, or the word means obedience, subjection. It's a word that means to arrange under in an orderly way, to subordinate. It really is a military term. They rank under him, like privates rank under a sergeant, and so forth, right up the military chain. And they are to do this, we are told, with all reverence. And that word comes up quite often in descriptions of behavior and attitudes. Reverence. That's the way that wives are supposed to treat their husbands, and that's the way the children are supposed to treat their parents. And that's the way that fathers are to train their children to treat their parents. And that reverence means respect, propriety, dignity, might be another way to put it, with all dignity. And this all applies to the father's control, his management of his household. the dignity and self-control that he exercises in managing his household. He does so with a level of dignity, a measure of dignity. Some, however, apply this word reverence not so much to his way but of acting, but to the demeanor of his children, children who are respectful with the strictest regard to propriety, who exhibit seriousness and sobriety of conduct, which is in accordance with their father's office. Now, the question is, does this require that his children all be Christians? Well, the expectation is that they will become Christians, but of course, children are at all different ages. Young children, you can't impose that requirement upon necessarily. And if you understand that salvation is of the Lord and we can't command the Holy Spirit, he's like the wind that blows when it wills, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Nobody, not even a father, can command his children to become Christians. How much we wish we could. How much parents wish they could command their children to become Christians. How much parents wish they could believe for their children. How much parents wish they could, by force of will and winsomeness of handling, lead their children into saving faith in Christ. Parents, of course, can lead their children to pray to receive Jesus as their Savior, which may not be a very wise thing to do, but that probably takes me a little bit afield of my subject for today. But there's no way that a parent can guarantee faith in the heart of a child. We're shut up to God for that. But parents can, and here the issue is the father, the husband, fathers can require their children to behave in a certain way as long as they are at home. And that's the point. That's the point. One who rules well his own household, having his children in submission with all reverence, with all dignity. His children should be well-behaved. His children should be respectful. If they're not Christians, they are not to be acting in a way that dishonors the Lord and dishonors their parents and dishonors the church. Now, there are a lot of jokes and snide remarks about preachers' kids, and we've all known some preachers' kids who were very wild. And if they are allowed to be wild by their parents, then there is something that is dreadfully wrong, isn't there? I say, a father cannot guarantee the salvation of his child, but he can enforce proper behavior by his child. He can't make a child receive the Word of God into his heart, but he can make a child attend church, and to do so respectfully. He can't make a child live a godly life if he doesn't have a changed heart, but he can make him live according to reasonable rules of the home, to be home at a certain time, to behave in a certain way, to not go certain places and not do certain things. A father can exercise that kind of control. And this suggests to us that he must, and that's a requirement for being a pastor. To be qualified to pastor a church, you've got to be able to exercise that kind of control over your household. If you can't, and we'll get to that in a moment, the causal relationship between the family and the church, but if you can't exercise that kind of control over your family, then how can you properly preside over, superintend, oversee the church of God? There's some very strong implications here. Now, the jokes about the pastor's kids being wild, I've heard so many different ones, and I'm sure you have too, such as the deacon's kids are wild because they are friends with the pastor's kids or something like that, and on it goes. Well, that shouldn't be said of the pastor's kids. That shouldn't be said of the deacon's kids. However, as I've already said, you can't guarantee the salvation of anyone. And if your child is not a true Christian, as he gets into his teen years in particular, you can't expect him to have a godly influence upon others. If he's not godly, if he doesn't have a changed heart, then of course you can't expect him to have a godly influence upon others. And as we know, unconverted young people, like unconverted anybody, adults and anybody, will tend to gravitate to other people whose hearts are the same. So if you have several young people in the church who are unconverted, though their parents are godly people and are maintaining proper control in the home, it's not only likely, it's almost certain that they are going to seek each other out and become friends and will, to some extent, no doubt, encourage one another in, what should I say, carefully controlled rebellion. There's no way that a pastor or anyone can guarantee that his child will not ever say anything or do anything that he would not approve of. That's asking too much. But he must maintain control over his family. You say, well, what if his child just goes wild and refuses to be controlled? What's he supposed to do? Kick him out. Oh, you can't do that. That's exactly what you'll have to do. If he's going to be a part of your household, he's going to have to abide by certain reasonable expectations. And this is a word of wisdom to all of us as Christians, and to some of you who are listening today who are struggling right now with wayward children. If they're going to live in your home, you can impose certain rules upon them. You can say to them, if you're going to live here, I expect you to attend church. If you're going to live here, I expect you to be home by such and such a time at night. Maybe such and such a time through the week, and maybe a different time on weekends, whatever. But if you're going to live here, I expect you not to bring certain things into the home. If you're going to live here, I expect you not to consume alcohol in our house or whatever. You'll have to set the rules, but you'll have to set the rules. And if you're going to live here, I expect you not to get in trouble with the law. And if you're going to live here, I expect you to not behave in certain ways. And if I hear reports that you are behaving in these ways, then you will just have to pack up and leave. If you're not going to live by the rules of the home, you're not going to live in this house. I'm not going to support your self-destruction. If you're determined to disrespect us, to disrespect our home, our rules, our ways, if you're determined to do that, I can't stop you because I can't control you, but I can say, you're not going to do that here. You're not going to do that living in this house. You're not going to do that with our blessing. You're not going to do that with our aid. You're not going to do that with our financial help. You're on your own. Go on out there and do it on your own. And if that's not doesn't work and you want to come back, you can come back, but only if you're willing to live according to our rules. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.